Anna Garitelli is a reporter for the Washington Examiner. I know Anna very well because Anna went through the National Journalism Center when I was director of that. She was one of our superstars. And her beat for the Washington Examiner is the border. So I asked if she would come on and talk to us about it. And Anna, thank you for taking time with us. I know you're busy this morning.
Yeah, you know, but for KBI and for Kirby, I will certainly make time because, yeah.
Thanks, Anna. This semi-truck, was it filled with, do you think it was filled with people coming across the border in the truck? Or is this a case where people gather together once they get into the country, coyotes stuff them in a truck and ship them somewhere?
Yeah, so we don't know yet. But I can tell you, I've covered this beat for 5 years. What typically happens is human smugglers or cartels who are being paid by migrants to get into the United States. They're either getting paid to get people across the border, or they're getting paid to get people across the border and then onto their final destination. It would be like if you or I crossed into Mexico and then said, you know, I need help getting to Mexico City or Cancun. In this case, what they often do, the cartels, is get you across the border, put you in what we call a stash house. They're literally stashing people. It'll be 50 to 100 people in like a one-bedroom apartment. It's just abhorrent conditions. And then they'll say, okay, we have a truck coming, an 18-wheeler. Some person's been paid to drive this truck from, say, Laredo on the border to San Antonio. And then those people are going to unload from the truck, get into their next destination, go on to their next destination. And it's fairly common. And it's being investigated as a human smuggling incident. So it's leaning towards that. We don't know if it came across the border or if people were in a stash house in the United States and then got in the truck.
This one ended in tragedy. Do you have any idea how many of them don't? I mean, this is a common method to getting people into the country. They obviously are going to San Antonio or Dallas or Houston or some other location, but this is fairly common.
It is.
I mean, 60 people in a truck.
It is fairly common. In 2019, I reported that we were seeing a massive increase in these types of discoveries. Right now at the border, we still have this policy in place called Title 42. And it's the CDC's recommendation that in a pandemic, anyone who comes across the border be automatically turned back immediately. Don't take them into custody. The Biden administration has very liberally walked that back. It's returning people about half the time. The people who get returned are Mexicans and Central Americans because countries like Venezuela, Cuba, where tons of people are migrating from at the border, they can't be returned right now. And so it's leading, in this case, I know like 22 Mexicans at the last count were among those deceased in the truck. It's leading those Mexican and Central American populations to then go to these types of desperate measures to get into the country because they know, hey, if I get caught by Border Patrol, the Venezuelan family next to me is going to get released into the United States. I'm going to get sent back to Mexico. So I need to take this extra step.
So if they're coming from a country that we might consider oppressive, like Venezuela, Cuba, others, they're pretty much like going to the country. But if they appear to be economic migrants or from countries like Mexico, Guatemala, they're shipped back.
Yeah, in the United States, certain countries right now, like Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, all authoritarian regimes running them, they're not accepting their own citizens back from the United States, like most other countries do. So that's an issue. The other thing is we have so many people coming from some of these countries that are further away. ICE doesn't have the resources to constantly be flying planes back of people. We have great processes in place right now to regularly remove people from the United States to Guatemala or to El Salvador. We don't have, I mean, can you imagine how many planes it would take if we were going to, first you have to detain enough people to go on a plane, and then you send everyone back to a specific country. So it's, yeah, it's.
Yeah. We're talking to Anna Giratella, by the way. She's a reporter for the Washington Examiner. Her beat for the last 5 years has been the border. She's been there. She's been with Border Patrol agents. She's talked to immigrants. She's talked to the experts, local politicians. She knows the area and the problem like very few others. I'm curious, Anna, the White House press secretary this morning, when asked about this, said, quote, "The border is closed," unquote. Your thoughts on that from the White House press secretary?
Yeah, I mean, the White House is sticking with the message that they began, a year and a half ago almost. Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has been saying, do not come. And I'm working on a story right now, actually, about the message that migrants are getting in their home countries from the media. And what we're finding is that a lot of those in Central America, those leaders there are actually saying, hey, the United States says don't come. This is not the time. Don't do it illegally. Apply through the consulate. So that message is being pushed across. But, I mean, the United States government is up against the cartels, and the cartels will, you know, it's like telephones. They'll take what you say, and they will completely turn it around and say, well, listen, they may say it's closed, but we just got your sister all the way to Chicago for $6,000. So if you want to trust us with this, we can get it done. I mean, the results, when you have family members and friends, and I've heard this from so many migrants, who say, well, my so-and-so, someone I know, got across last month, so I decided to do it. Reality doesn't match up with what the White House is saying.
Yeah, I would think not. What about these flights? We hear about these nighttime flights where the government is flying some of these folks to different cities in different parts of the country. Is that a particular segment of the illegal immigrant population? Is it people from certain countries? Is it young people? And what do they do with these people? Do you know what they do with these people when they wind up where they're being sent to? They just leave them at the airport? Do they have relief agencies get to them?
So it's typically unaccompanied minors. So those are children who come across the border, smuggled by the cartels and pushed across. They're without their own parents and their own guardians who have paid these people or been indebted to them to get these children to the United States. And because we have right now between 400 and 600 children crossing the border every day without parents, it's extremely high. The government's Border Patrol takes custody. And then under law, the Department of Health and Human Services takes the child from Border Patrol to then take care of them instead of sending them to ICE. But there's so few resources on the border that I just reported last week, I broke the story, they're now going to be taking over HHS. They've signed a 5-year contract to use an abandoned international school in Greensboro, North Carolina, and house children there for the month that they kind of have to find the sponsors to release the children to take care of them. And then the child will get released. So what that means for your question is the government is going to have to then transport these children from up and down the southern border to North Carolina. It's going to be one of the largest holding centers. So we can expect more of these, you know, quote, secret night flights. And the government will say, well, yeah, we don't want to, you know, fly during the day because it's busy and people are traveling and such. But folks are flying. Migrants who are put on these planes, they're not on commercial planes. They're being put on government planes or government contracted planes and then flown often in the middle of the night to this airport, unloaded, put on a bus and taken in. So the Greensboro community, they're going to start flying people in July. You know, they may not actually even see much going on because it's all probably going to unfold at night.
At night. And then what these relief agencies try to connect them with the relatives, they try to find a job for them, they put them in school. What happens to these kids?
Yeah, so they legally, any child can be enrolled in the United States for school. So HHS has hundreds of contractors who are going to be looking for a parent or a guardian in the United States to release the child to. In most cases, they can find one and they'll vet that person. And then the child will be transported to them. And the cost, who's picking up that cost, I'm not positive on who's picking up that cost right now. But the government has been covering it previously, to my knowledge. All right. And then, you know, one of the issues, Kirby, is the school district where this child is going is not made aware that he or she is coming. And so especially in immigrant communities, I think of in D.C., out in Fairfax and Herndon, you know, there's a large immigrant population there. Likely, you know, more children are being released there than, say, in, you know, downtown Washington, D.C. And so it does have an impact, but also the schools don't know they're coming. So if that child gets trafficked elsewhere or is forced to work, you know, in some other situation and they're only 15, no one knows about that.
Anna Garitelli, Washington Examiner. If you want to know what's going on the border, read Anna. She's in the Washington Examiner several times a week, if not more. You can check that out at WashingtonExaminer.com, I believe. You can read it online. And if you want to know what's going on the border, read Anna.